I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Hey, hey, welcome to Amazing FBA. This is Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Today, we are going to talk about reasons to investigate selling internationally on Amazon, not just consider, but I think you should go as far as investigating. It's more active. Why should I say that strongly? Well, there are many statistics that bear this out, but I've just been talking with Kevin Sanderson. In fact, I did a presentation at his Global Empires Summit, which is going live today, the Tuesday, the 25th of August in 2020, if you hear it. And there's some interesting statistics. If you're based anywhere outside of America, or if you're selling anywhere except Amazon USA, you really should be definitely considering expanding to the USA. Yes, it's a competitive market, but there's so much opportunity there. Even though Amazon is big, it's still growing fast. So in 2019, the latest full year, we got statistics for the gross marketplace volume, i.e. the amount of goods sold on Amazon in the USA, was $193 billion. But that was up from $160 billion in 2018, which is a 22.7% increase. It's actually, apart from the sort of rest of the world category, bigger than the increase in the USA, Japan, Germany, and the UK. So if you are not selling in USA yet, although some markets are too competitive, you should at least look into it. That would be my advice. If you're US-based and you don't sell in the rest of the world, you're not missing out quite so much on revenue. The rest of the world combined is about a third of the total of Amazon's sales. USA is about two-thirds, strictly about 63% in 2019. But still, that's an additional revenue stream. And there's many, many reasons. In fact, seven reasons I'm going to talk about why you may want to consider or even go further and investigate selling internationally on Amazon. Just want to flag up the Global Empire Summit with Kevin Sanderson. Kevin has made it his business to specialize in international expansion. He's based in the US, in Florida, and he works primarily with US-based entrepreneurs, but not only, to expand internationally. And he's in many, many different marketplaces now and having a lot of fun. And it's really saved his business year this year in 2020, because in some months under the COVID sort of lockdown and crazy situations that have arisen, his international sales have actually beaten his US sales, which never normally happens. And I spoke with him and did a presentation on the sort of overview of some lessons from the British Empire, which I used as a sort of framework to talk about global domination with some UK perspective. I talked about the four horsemen of the profit apocalypse and the merchant mindset, the BASH, what that stands for and how that helps you, and the merchant skill set that you'll need as well. So if you want to check that out, you can go to amazingfba.com/globalempire. E-M-P-I-R-E, no S for sugar. And you can check that out. It's up, I believe, today. And then after that, you'll have to pay for it. So if you're interested in watching that presentation, it's about 45 minutes or so with a little slide deck, makes a bit of a change, go to amazingfba.com/globalempire. So today I want to do a little bit of a simple summary of why you should consider this. It's not the whole story. There's upsides. There's also challenges like anything else. But if there's no big upside, if there's no strong reason, why bother even investigating, right? So I think today I hope to provoke you to consider this seriously enough to go and have some conversations with some experts and to educate yourself further. Those are the two things I think one should always do when looking into new opportunities, but particularly with international selling. So here we go, the seven reasons why you should consider or even investigate international selling on Amazon. Number one is additional revenue. Kind of simple, but US is, as I said, about two-thirds of the total. So it's about 63% of the total in 2019. That was $280.5 billion in revenue, gross marketplace volume. By the way, it shot up in 2020 because of the COVID effect where everyone's been buying online as opposed to just in shops. So probably even bigger. Even on average, then, you could add maybe another third or so to your sales by being fully diversified across the globe. Most of that, of course, is not going to be, you're going to have to be in 10 different marketplaces to take advantage of that. The majority of the extra sales are going to come from Germany, UK, and Japan, to put it very simply. So if you're based in the US, you don't have to go into a million different marketplaces to add a substantial revenue. Of course, if you're based in the UK, or for that matter, Germany, as I know a few of our listeners are, then expanding into the US in terms of revenue, sales growth, could be a huge game changer. Of course, there are going to be bigger challenges, but that is obviously at least worth considering. Reason number two I want to talk about is a bit counterintuitive, but I believe even in 2020, with some of the challenges we're facing with international regulations and relationships becoming a bit more complicated, I still think it's one of the easiest ways to expand your business. That may not seem true on the surface of it, but think about it. Identifying a market is hard, but getting a product that is made that is good enough quality, that is differentiated and is profitable, i.e. you're buying at the right price, because they say profit's made when you buy, not when you sell, that's really hard. So if you can get that sorted, you can find yourself a great supplier, a great quality product, a really differentiated product design, and you trust the quality and the price is right, then that is the hardest thing in my experience by far. If you get that cracked, it can be almost as simple as you've got a factory, probably in China in most cases even now, that's creating, say, 500 units per order for you and shipping straight into the USA. That wouldn't be untypical. That's quite typical even for UK-based businesses. I did that myself. If you just say to your factory, okay, produce an extra 100 and you ship a carton of that into the UK, and yes, you're going to have to deal with some legal things and some barriers. But in essence, I still think that is simpler than trying to develop a whole new product line. Why would I say that? Well, barriers like VAT registration and importing and exporting can be outsourced to people who deal with that day in, day out, VAT experts. I recently interviewed Simply VAT, for example, who specialize in VAT for everyone and VAT in the European Union, UK, and they also deal with Canada as well, GST, general sales tax, and the tax side. Those guys will just take care of it for you and add a price. But nevertheless, it's a tactical, simple thing to outsource. Freight forwarders deal with this stuff all of their lives. They can deal with the actual physical movement of the goods. Whereas finding and developing a great product is a really difficult, awkward process. Now, if you're brilliant at product development and hate international type things, that may not be true for you. But in general, I would say it's often one of the easiest ways to expand, even in the current environment. Reason three, extra profits. If you are based in the USA, you may be delighted to discover if you go into some other Amazon marketplaces that there is simply fewer competitors. Yes, normally lower marketplace volume and lower revenue, but all things being equal, if you have fewer competitors, then you can keep your prices healthy. You don't have the threat to the bottom line, to the profit. That's often because there are barriers to entry, one of which is simply inertia. If you're used to selling in America and you're busy managing your business in America, then it takes an extra effort to even investigate going into the UK or Canada, for example, let alone to actually implement. So that's a barrier. But if you can break through that inertia and make the extra effort, you can be the winner of the fact that other people can't be bothered. Another barrier to entry, which keeps the competitors out, is the language barrier, particularly if you go into EU countries where they don't speak English, except in the UK is technically no longer an EU country as well, or Japan, of course. And then there's the cultural barriers in Japan. So these are things you have to overcome, but barriers to entry mean that the lazy or less imaginative sellers aren't in there. And if you are, you get to win. Another reason why profits can be really good, particularly if you're based, say, in the UK, where the pound has been somewhat harshly judged by the international foreign exchange markets over the last few years. When I first started in the Amazon game, I could get $1.75 or something like that, $1.63 to 70 range for a pound. Now it's around the range of $1.22 to $1.30. So if you're, for example, based in the UK, I would strongly advise you want to get exposure to a stronger currency. Even better if you're based in the UK or anywhere outside of Europe, outside the USA, I should say. If you buy your goods in China in dollars, which is their preferred currency, and you sell your goods in the USA, suddenly you're avoiding all currency fluctuations at all because you're working in a sort of dollar economy, even though you're working internationally, which is very cool. I've been in that situation in the past, and many of my clients are as well. And finally, in some areas of the world, simply have the wealthier consumers. Japan and Germany have some very wealthy consumers compared, again, to the UK and USA. There are wealthy consumers in all markets, but the average is higher. And that can tie in with the currency as well. If you're selling into Germany, for example, wealthy consumers, and the euro to dollar exchange rate has been fairly stable. It's been in the range of about $1.05, $1.15 to a euro, very roughly, over several years. So that's quite a good bet. So talking of currencies then, another reason to go into international markets is diversifying your risks. Again, if you're in the UK, I think you probably have got one of the less attractive currencies in the world to hold right now. The pound to dollar relationship has been fluctuating a lot. If you sell into Europe and you also sell, as I said, if you stay in the dollar economy, that takes you out of the risk of the pound's relationship to other currencies being hammered. And don't forget, 2021 is the year of actual Brexit. The decision's been made, but the UK is currently under the so-called transitional arrangement. But from January the 1st, 2021, it is not going to be. And I think the foreign exchange markets are going to punish Britain severely, which means that the pound will be lower. So I would be strongly advising any UK-based businesses to get exposure to other currencies really as fast as you can. That also brings us to the next reason for diversifying risk, the second diversification of risk, which is, by the way, quite counterintuitive, because it feels like going more international might increase your risk. And yes, there are some problems to solve. There are increased problems and jobs you have to do as a company, as a business. But the risk profile generally is actually reduced, just like any diversification of assets classes reduces risk as a general investment principle. And that's true for a business and it's true for international expansion. So the second diversification of risk, of course, is around COVID. It's a rather strange situation, but I'm broadcasting this in sort of August 2020. I think this is going to be with us for a while to go, certainly 2020. And if it's not COVID, it could be some other unforeseen shock. It might not be a global pandemic. There are other things that can happen. But broadly speaking, there are two types of shocks which have affected things in 2020, since sort of March time, and could affect us again. One is a demand side shock. The US helicopter money is coming to an end, so US consumers may spend a little less. UK furlough money is coming to an end. They may spend a little less. But for example, Germany has had a fairly good COVID crisis so far, which is to say they've lost fewer people and the economy hasn't been so shut down. So, for example, that could be wise to get exposure to that. UK GDP sank about 20% in the second quarter of 2020. It's pretty much one of the worst drops in the developed world. So if you're based in the UK, you may want to get exposure to other markets where the economy has been less hammered. The supply side shock is, in other words, when COVID gets in the way of goods getting from where they're made to the end consumer. In France and Italy, in the height of COVID in spring 2020, they had Amazon warehouses simply shut down. In some cases, they didn't just stop receiving some goods. In the USA, a lot of places just stopped receiving any but the most essential goods. And of course, in the US, because COVID at the time of recording is raging across the US, then some FCs, i.e. fulfillment centers by Amazon, within their FBA warehouse system, will probably be shut down by, probably temporarily, but be shut down by infection, and they'll have to close it, clean it, and reassure their workers. So all of that stuff is hard to predict in any given country, but if you're diversified across the globe, that's a very healthy way of mitigating that risk without, again, being incredibly complex. You're selling on the same platform. Remember, Amazon Seller Central is the same everywhere. The way you pay for the statistics, the system is the same. If you get a freight forwarder to deal with your freight going from China to the USA, chances are it's quite similar going from the USA, from China to Europe. It takes about the same time, for example. And yes, there will be regulatory hoops to jump through, VAT registration and so forth. And that's why you hire the experts. But if you are diversifying your risk, again, I would argue that's really worth having. It's not just about making more sales. It's not even just about profit. It's about protecting what you already have. Third type of protection is a bit obscure, but is important. It's Amazon suspension risk. Now, this is a complex area, but broadly speaking, if you have multiple different Amazon marketplaces that you're selling on, then individual countries can end up changing regulations in one place and lead to suspended listings. Whereas in another place, it's fine. For example, I'm working with a client at the moment where we're working to get a product out of hazmat, as it's called. So Amazon's classified it as potentially dangerous material. It isn't, but that happens a lot. And that's happening in Germany. So right now, we haven't got any sales in Germany. But meanwhile, in the UK, it's selling okay. And in the USA, it's selling very well. So that's an example of sort of diversification against Amazon type of risks. And an entire Amazon account could be suspended as well. Now, you're not completely proof against different marketplaces. If you have a bad time in the UK and Germany, then Amazon may start examining your American marketplace. But it's at least possible, and I've seen this before, where you get suspended completely one marketplace like Italy, and you can still sell in UK, Germany, maybe USA. So that gives you a bit of protection, which is really seriously important for Amazon sellers. I still think it's probably the single biggest risk to our businesses is Amazon rather than COVID, even though that's also systemically important. Not quite as dramatic, though. And the final one is an interesting, I say trick, but it's not a trick at all, but it's a sort of accounting way of thinking about the world to do with cash flow. And basically, I go into this in detail in my presentation with Kevin. So if you want to check that out, I suggest you go and watch my presentation, which is at amazingfba.com/global empire. But broadly speaking, if you are producing a similar amount of units in China, wherever it is, and you could sell them to the Americans and the Brits and the Germans and the Japanese or whatever it is, you can basically sell your inventory more quickly, which means that your cash flow is better, which is wonderfully reassuring. But also that means the working capital needed, the amount of money you need to sink into a product line to make it work, is lower, which is really huge. It reduces risk and it increases the ability to scale quickly. So I explain that in detail. Go check that out at the presentation. So those are seven basic reasons. Let me just quickly recap those. Number one, additional revenue or sales, kind of obvious. Number two, one of the easiest ways to expand. There are hoops to jump through, but there are hoops to jump through with anything. It's very proven as a way of expanding. Number three, more profits, especially because of lower competition, which are two sides of the same coin, I would say. I'm just going to make a note here. As ever, of course, you'll get your notes at amazingfba.com/blog, and you can find the podcast notes there. Reason number four is diversifying away your currency risk. Number five, diversifying your COVID risk, if we want to call it that. Number six, your Amazon suspension risk. And number seven, your cash flow and working capital upsides. So when you're making decisions about this, I would say just keep it simple. Of course, there will be a lot of complications in the way of doing anything new, and this is no different. And sometimes there are a few complications, sometimes there are more. But I think you just need to do a cost-benefit analysis. What's the potential upside? If it's big enough, then bother to do the other stuff. For me, there are three sets of low-hanging fruit. For US sellers, I know that Kevin Sanderson is very, very keen on this. Get going in Canada. It's physically close, so you can afford to send stock from the US. You don't need to be complicated. They have very helpful customs agents, and of course, an English-speaking market and a similar sort of structure. For example, you use sales tax in the US and Canada. For UK sellers, I think Germany is a huge market. It's bigger than, say, Italy, but with similar costs and time to comply with the bureaucracy, VAT registration and things. So all things being equal, if the upside potential is big and the barriers or the costs are about the same, I would go for the thing with the big upside potential. For me, it's Germany. Right now, you can have stock in the UK and just sell it into Germany. You're using the European Fulfillment Network, the EFN. From December the 31st, 2020, that stops. That said, though, if you get yourself registered in Germany, you can still send stock there, and you can import direct from China. There are ways around it. It's now becoming a bit trickier, but nevertheless, in the end, the upside potential is so huge in Germany for most of us that it's normally, for me, that the lowest hanging fruit, even once we've dealt with the Brexit complications, which you're coming into now. And for everybody, Japan, I think, is the single most underused opportunity. It's about the same size as the UK market by gross marketplace volume, the amount of stuff that's sold there. It's only 2 weeks shipping time to China, as opposed to 2 months, pretty much the same to Europe or USA, which is huge if you're sourcing in China, or for that matter, Vietnam or anywhere else like that. It's only 10% sales tax on imports, as opposed to 20% VAT on imports into the UK or the EU. And the last thing is, there are great barriers to entry. So for those who worry and want to see everything on Jungle Scout or Helium 10, those research tools don't work there. For me, that's a huge plus. That's a huge plus, I should say. So I think that's great because it's a barrier to entry. Now, you will need to get some help with the cultural side of that. My friend John Kant has been on the podcast before talking about that, and he also was on the Global Empire Summit talking to Kevin. So check out John and his presentation on the Global Empire Summit. But where there's a barrier, but on the other side of the barrier, a juicy opportunity, that really excites me, because one of the problems we have with any kind of online type business, and that includes Amazon, is it's kind of a little bit too easy to start, and that means there's too much competition. So I'm always looking for places where there's a bit of a barrier to entry, but it's actually not as hard as it looks. That's a perfect situation for me. And I think international selling generally within the Amazon framework really comes under that heading for me. So next steps, if this in any way interests you, I really urge you to check it out as an opportunity. So I would say the first thing is get informed. Again, I'm going to mention the Global Empire Summit with Kevin Sanderson, who specializes in this kind of approach to Amazon life, if you like, expanding internationally as one of the easiest ways to expand. AmazingFBA.com/Global Empire. If you want to watch all that stuff there, it's free for the first 24 hours and then you have to pay. So now is the time on Tuesday, 25th of August or Wednesday, 26th, then it's available. After that, you'll have to pay. I'm also going to be interviewing people to deal with the barriers to get them out of the way. I've interviewed the experts from Simply VAT, Canadian and French experts, Alex Wyatt and Louise Boussmar, respectively, who are based in the UK but have an international perspective. That's really helpful. We're also going to be talking about Brexit, sales tax updates as well, and other things. So we deal with not with it thinking, oh, it's a problem, but thinking, okay, it's a barrier on the other side of which is wonderful opportunity. Let's figure out how to deal with the barriers elegantly. So that's coming up. The final thing I would say is get some expert help if you're going to go into these areas. They are not, freight forwarding is not something to do yourself. Just freight forwarders deal with moving freight around the world every single day of their lives. It's not a problem for them. It will be hugely complicated for you to try and learn it from scratch. Learn the basics and then employ or talk to somebody. Tax specialists as well. Cultural help. If you're going to go into Japan, talk to John Kant. If you're based in the UK, but not only. And sometimes you want to get some general strategic guidance from a coach who's been there before as well. So again, all of these people, including a coach, including myself, will be willing to have a talk to you briefly for free, normally as an initial conversation. So you can at least ask some of the obvious questions to assess, is this an opportunity for me and for my business? It's quite possible that for some people, it won't be the right move right now. But I don't think it's ever the right move to ignore an obvious opportunity and not do it out of ignorance rather than looking into it. So I urge you, if nothing else, to educate yourself, investigate it and talk to some experts and then come to a decision. If you're going to do it, go for it. I do think it's an exciting opportunity, and it always has been and always will be for Amazon sellers to get expanding internationally. And as Amazon keeps adding marketplaces, it's only going to continue to grow as an opportunity. Thanks very much for listening. Stay tuned and safe travels.